If you or a loved one have been a victim of domestic violence, help is available. Speak with someone today. You can contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available in English, Spanish, and over 200 languages through Interpretation Service. You can dial them at 1-800-799-7233. Again, that's 1-800-799-7233. Or text BEGIN, that's BEGIN, to 88788. WWE Universe, the D-Loop Podcast is now a brand affiliate of WWE Shop with Fanatics. Get all of your latest merchandise from your favorite WWE superstars and wear them proud. So if it's CM Punk, the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes, L.A. Knight, the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns, or legends like The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Bret the Hitman Hart, again, you can get all of your favorite merchandise over at wrestling.thedlupodcast.com. Again, that's wrestling.thedlupodcast.com to get all of your favorite merchandise at WWE Shop with Fanatics. This podcast is a Believe Network and Luciete production. Welcome to another edition of the D-Loop Podcast, brought to you by Believe Network. I'm your host, Derek T. Lewis, and I hope the week is treating you incredibly good. You know, as we're entering in the middle of July, I can't believe how fast this year is going. But anyways, this week, Gabby returns, and we're breaking down this past weekend's Money in the Bank, the shocking announcement of John Cena's retirement and the farewell tour that's going to be taking place all of 2025, and a little bit of Monday Night Raw. And actually, what does this retirement mean, you know, for John Cena, the WWE, and wrestling fans as a whole? Let's not wait any longer. The recap of Money in the Bank and John Cena's retirement starts right now. Ladies and gentlemen, she's back as always. When I cover pro wrestling, you know, she has to be on. She's the matriarch of the D-Loop Podcast when it comes to pro wrestling. The one and only Gabby. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, I got to tell you, we had a crazy couple of days of professional wrestling that we have to get into. Of course, we're going to cover and recap this weekend's Money in the Bank and all that excitement that came out of that. Of course, we're going to talk about this past Monday's Raw and, of course, the retirement. Can you believe it? The retirement of John Cena. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. However, I will say that I did read WWE's announcement as we are recording this on a Tuesday night. You know, yesterday they touted about the success of the entire weekend with SmackDown, Money in the Bank, and NXT's Heatwave. You know, WWE, part of TKO Holdings, today announced that Money in the Bank 2024, which featured the surprise announcement of WWE superstar John Cena's retirement in 2025, became the highest grossing WWE arena event in Canada in company history. Think about that. I'm going to stop for a second. As many years as the WWE has been going to the country of Canada above us, you know, our neighbors up north, the highest grossing event in company history. Unbelievable. Now, in addition to the record-setting weekend, WrestleMania 40 behind the curtain has amassed more than 2.3 million total viewers since its July 3rd debut on WWE's YouTube channel. And the documentary takes viewers behind the scenes of the chaotic build to WrestleMania 40 and features interviews with Dwayne Johnson, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and WWE Chief Content Officer Paul Levesque. Quote, "Weekends that bring visitors en masse to our host cities play an important part to our planning process," said WWE President Nick Khan. "The results are a testament to our superstars, our creative team led by Paul Levesque, our media and production team led by Lee Fitting, and most importantly, our fans who attended and created our massive viewership." Money in the Bank highlights include The Gate, Money in the Bank 2024 became the highest grossing WWE arena event in Canada in company history. Attendance, more than 45,000 fans attended four events running Thursday to Sunday, including the debut of WWE superstar Sami Zayn's comedy show, Sami Zayn and Friends Do Toronto, in addition to Friday Night SmackDown, Money in the Bank, and NXT Heatwave at Scotiabank Arena. Viewership. Now, Saturday's show became the most watched Money in the Bank of all time, with viewership up 46% from last year's record-setting number. John Cena. WWE superstar John Cena made international news with his announcement that he will retire from in-ring action following the Last Time Is Now John Cena farewell tour in 2025. Now, regarding merchandise, this is huge. In partnership with Fanatics, merchandise sales were up from last year's record-setting number, with the Canadian-themed Money in the Bank briefcase grabbing the top spot as the best-selling item of the weekend. Hospitality. Money in the Bank weekend set a revenue record for fan experience packages offered by exclusive partner On Location and Social, of course, as Cena's retirement announcement amassed more than 65 million social media views in the first 24 hours, making it WWE's most viewed social segment since WrestleMania 40. You want to talk about printing money. I know that I said a mouthful there. Gabby, if you can just sum it up as far as what this means for an event, because this is not obviously a classic four, premium live event or anything like that. But considering it was only five matches, yet they're able to generate this much revenue, what does this say about the WWE as a whole?
I think it's insane that WWE essentially keeps breaking their own records each premium live event. It's insane. And I also thought it was a very interesting choice to put the WrestleMania documentary on YouTube versus Peacock. I thought it was a very interesting decision because I naturally heard about it. I naturally went to Peacock and I'm looking for it. And I'm like, oh, wait, no, it's on YouTube. So I had to stop. Pull up right. YouTube and watch it there. But that was a very interesting decision. Obviously, it worked out very well. It definitely got more eyes to the YouTube channel. I just think it was a really great idea to kind of spice it up too. Because again, we all naturally go to Peacock. This forced me to go to YouTube. And I'm really not a big YouTube girl. So yeah, it definitely made me go over to YouTube. So interesting decision. Kind of like it.
Speaking of the documentary regarding WrestleMania 40, if we can, and I know we didn't, this wasn't in the rundown, but we're going to talk about it just for a little bit. What were your thoughts and what did you walk away from watching that documentary?
That Dwayne Johnson felt the need to insert himself in it. Everybody was upset. And then he felt the need to kind of explain why he inserted himself into it. I know why they did it, but I'm not sure that it made The Rock or Dwayne look good.
I mean, I have my feelings on it. I walked away from it of the fact that I think the respect that they already had for Cody grew even bigger once Cody, I think, put his foot down.
Yeah.
And the fact that, Triple H said, hey, this was on me, that says a lot. Because I feel in the old regime, the previous owner of WWE would have said, you know what, I'm going with The Rock and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. And that would have been the end of it. And Cody, because I mean, think about it. If everybody, if there was no injury to Punk, if there was no injury to Rollins and all this other stuff, what would have happened with Cody? Like, that's the million-dollar question that, again, of course, we can't answer. But it's just like all of these things, I think all the stars align for the right reasons once they realize, okay, there is fan backlash. Because granted, here's the thing. If this was any other year, like for example, if let's just say for sake of argument, if The Rock would have actually come back and won the Royal Rumble, it would have made all the sense in the world. Okay, cool. Rock is going to wrestle Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. But to have Cody win it and then all of a sudden say, okay, well, you're not going to win the title at WrestleMania, or you're not going to wrestle for the title at WrestleMania, it'll be at a later date. But it just didn't seem right. And the thing is that fans see through smoke and mirrors.
Absolutely. Like,
this isn't, you got to realize this isn't, the old, the old way anymore. Like wrestling is, we know what it is. But sometimes you have to give the fans, what they've been clamoring for. Obviously, for all of us that was at WrestleMania 39, you were there. You saw how quickly SoFi Stadium emptied out the minute that the ref hit three when Cody got pinned.
Immediately.
I mean, fans, I mean, I could still see it where the fans were just leaving. The fans that had their chairs at ringside grabbed their chairs and they were heading out the
And we're
stadium.
out.
There were some PO'd fans. And then the next morning, you and I happened to run into each other for the first time ever at LAX. And we had the same look on our face. So we got to talk because
Definitely.
seriously, because it was just like, are you kidding me right now? Like, I couldn't believe it that, but they wanted us to wait. And I'm like, okay, slow build. I get it. Pro
Right.
wrestling, sometimes you have to, yeah, you kind of got to dangle the carrot a little bit, which is cool. I don't mind it. But to all of a sudden just step in. And again, I love The Rock. I have nothing but love and respect for Dwayne, the human being. Respect for all that he's done in the wrestling space and the film and television space and things of that nature. But I just felt that was the wrong move to do that because at the end of the day, The Rock versus Roman Reigns doesn't need to be for the championship. It
No.
doesn't. Like it makes zero sense for Roman to defend the championship against The Rock. Just doesn't. It makes no sense at all. Just those two names alone on the marquee will sell. We know that. So that was what I walked away from. I walked away from it with, gaining even bigger respect for Triple H to make it right. You know what I mean? Making it right. And we all knew, like the feeling that we all felt, especially for those that were at Lincoln Financial Field for WrestleMania 40 and seeing Cody get his hand raised and tears just flowing out of everybody's eyes, finishing the story. That's what we wanted. And we can get Roman and Rock at in Vegas next year. And I think they're doing a really good job of really planting the seeds now with this solo. And we'll get to in the card in just a little bit. But I just wanted to put that out there because that I think doing this documentary, I thought was super important to kind of bring the fans kind of behind the curtain a little bit because I'm not a fan of, and again, and Danny Cage is going to kill me for this, but because Dan is all about like, look, we know wrestling's a work, so let's not pretend that it's not. There's part of behind the curtain that I'm kind of like, that was a little too much, but here it's 2024 and it is what it is. It's almost like when you see a behind the scenes of a movie, we have to kind of accept it for what it is. But I just think because of our love for professional wrestling, the sports aspect of it, we want to kind of keep the how do I put it? The suspending of disbelief, you know what I mean, for a little bit that we want our superstars, real and things like that. So I'm glad they were able to put that out and now that's behind them and now we're gonna move forward. Any last thoughts on the documentary?
No, I think we summed it up pretty good.
All right, so now we're going to talk about Money in the Bank. Which took place at the Scotiabank Arena. I still call it the Air Canada Centre. Sorry, I'm an adopted Canadian. I love Toronto. Toronto's a beautiful city. Can't wait to
It is.
visit again. But again, it was the Scotiabank and Arena in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. 19,858 screaming WWE fans that were. It was a sold out arena, and the first match on the card was the men's Money in the Bank championship, a match contract match, the ladder match, which consisted of Drew McIntyre, Andrade, Carmelo Hayes, Chad Gable, Jey Uso, and LA Knight. Start off, let me just start off with you. What was, when you saw what the men's match being first, which really shocked me, what were your thoughts initially?
It really didn't shock me. It makes sense that you start the show with a banger and you close the show with the banger. So I had a feeling that the men would be first. And I have to say it was a great match and Carmelo stole the show
Yeah,
easily.
Carmelo. Yeah, he did. The one bump he took off the ladder. I'm just like, oh my God, when he literally bounced off of it. I mean, that is unforgiving, steel. You know what I mean? That's nothing to, and it's crazy because me and the missus, we were watching it together and She was like, "Come on, Poppy." She's like, "That." She's like, "That can't be real." I said, "Listen." I said, "Wrestling is predetermined. However, they don't show you how to land on a ladder in wrestling school.
Yeah,
Like
nah.
you know what I mean? It's just one of those things you just got to just do."
That's not
And
AI.
no. That is as real as it gets. I love you, honey. But seriously, they were taking some serious bumps. I mean, Andrade took a sit. You see the welts on his back. He just showed it on his Instagram. You know what I mean? And I, for one, thought, if you listen to last week's episode and I was doing the preview show, I thought that this match was tailor-made for Jey Uso to win it and to get him in line for a future World Heavyweight Championship match. I thought that. I did. But then again, there's pro wrestling.
I never thought Jay was gonna win because the timing isn't there, right? Like I'm all for Jay and he's definitely on having a great solo run that cannot be denied. But as far as him winning Money in the Bank, it's also Money in the Bank is a better run, we'll say, when the person who has it is a heel. I'm not saying faces don't do good with Money in the Bank. Not saying that at all, but I'm saying you kind of get a better tease and a better like villain when the person is a heel. And also, like, do we really see Jay going up and winning a championship right now? No, I'm not saying he
Not right
won't, but
now,
like,
not right
literally,
now.
as of right now, today, no, it didn't make any sense for me. I thought he'd go out there and have a great match. He's definitely a great worker, but I just never saw him winning. My prediction is always Drew and then, ruining it for him. That was always my
Yeah.
prediction. That was.
I was here's the thing. I was thinking that okay, that Punk was going to interfere in the ladder match so he wouldn't even have an opportunity to win it. That was my thought process.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? And I'm just thinking, okay, hey, who and that Drew aside, who could benefit? That was my thought. And I'm thinking, okay, Jey Uso, clearly. You know what I mean? That was the reason why I was saying Jey was going to win it, because I thought that Punk was like, no, as long as I'm breathing, you're never gonna win a championship, which means you're not gonna even grab that briefcase for even a championship opportunity. You know what I mean? But nonetheless, right when Jey was ready to grab it, here we go with Drew McIntyre ruining the form, and Drew climbs that ladder and wins the Money in the Bank ladder match, becoming Mr. Money in the Bank. That match was 16 minutes and 30 seconds. And, we were all thinking, okay, he's definitely going to cash in tonight. I couldn't
He said he
see.
was.
He said he was. And I'm like, okay. So we'll leave that on the back burner for right now. The next match for the Intercontinental Championship was Sami Zayn versus Braun Breaker. And I got to tell you, Braun Breaker seems like he's been wrestling for about 5 years.
Yeah. He's a good Nepo baby. There's some bad ones. He's a good Nepo baby.
Some bad ones. Come on. There's no such thing as a bad Nepo baby, is it?
Yes. Yes, there is. But
Wait a
we're talking about
minute.
that right
LeBron James Jr. is a good Nepo baby. So I forget about that. We'll talk about that another
That's
time.
debatable, but that's
That's
here nor
debatable.
there.
Yeah. No, but I mean, literally, like just his just the leaps and bounds that he's made just going to the main roster on how explosive he is. And that's the one word I think that can describe Braun Breaker, is that he's has an explosive style, but it's a controlled explosive. You know what I mean? Where he's able to do, like, just climbing the top rope, with no hands and doing a Frankensteiner. I mean, he's a really good mix of his dad and his uncle. His dad's obviously his dad's look, you know what I mean? His dad's look and everything, but I think he got Scotty's just aggression and explosiveness. You know what I mean? He has a lot of that athleticism. Because if you ever watched the Steiner brothers back in the day, I mean, Rick really brought more. I guess he was more of the brawler of the two, but Scotty was had a little bit of brawler too, but he was just so athletic, being 265 pounds, doing a Frankensteiner, doing the Steiner screwdriver, do all these other different, all these moves that they were doing. They were innovative at the time. You know what I mean? I still put the Steiner brothers as my, it's probably the top three. They're in the top five greatest tag teams of all time, hands down. But enough about the Steiner brothers. Getting back to Braun Breaker in the now, on just what his trajectory is in the WWE, it's just limitless with this guy. I see world title, world champion written all over him in a few years. It's a matter of when. But I will say that this match with Sami Zayn, I thought was just a test as far as being in there with a true seasoned veteran. I think when it comes to as far as the measuring stick, sometimes, you have your guys like back in the day, you had X-Pac, who was that guy? You had Bryan Danielson, who was that guy? It's like if you can hang with them, then you're in the money. And I think that Bron Breakker being able to hang in there with Sami Zayn and being able to tell an incredible story in the 13 minutes, 15 seconds that they had, it spoke volumes about Bron Breakker and his future. Your thoughts?
I mean, if you look at, they had a 13-minute match, and the men's Money in the Bank was 16. If you're comparing length, you know what I mean? They had a very long enough match where it made sense. It wasn't too short. People may have been possibly expecting a squash. I never saw that. I think that it shows that he can work on a bigger stage than what he's been given. It shows that he can work. It shows that he can get the job done. It shows that he has that charisma, which I think is also very important to have in your superstar. You need to have that personality.
Absolutely. He has the personality. I mean, literally, if you close your eyes, he sounds like Scott. I mean, all we got to do now is we got to get the Steiner math in there now. It's a wrap.
Lord have mercy.
I mean, seriously, all he has to say is, I got a 133 chance, 133 and a third chance of winning or something. I gotta hear it. It's funny. That was one of the funniest promos ever. But Sami Zayn did win with the Helluva Kick to retain the Intercontinental Championship. And by the way, I'd be remiss if I forgot, the host of Money in the Bank, Toronto's own WWE Hall of Famer Trish Stratus actually kicked off the show. Obviously having Samantha Irvin send an incredible rendition of Star Spangled Banner, and I forgot the recording artist name from Toronto that sang "Oh Canada," did an incredible job with that. But after this match, Trish Stratus comes out and she's talking about a surprise, and then of course they had that noise meter thing come up in the corner. I'm like, what the hell? And of course you hear the music, that iconic music that's been blaring on WWE speakers since 2005. Time is now. John Cena makes his way out, but the shirt that he had on and the towel that he came out with wasn't of the norm.
No, it has something special on it.
And I mean, I was completely like, wait, what?
I kind of saw it coming, honestly.
Tell me, talk about it.
I kind of saw his retirement coming. Number one, he's not a baby. And as you know, as you get older, it's hard to do those things that your body can't do the things that they used to do. I'm not saying he's not in shape. He definitely is. I definitely think he can still go, but I don't think he wants to be one of those guys who walks away because they have to. I think he wants to leave on his own terms and of his own doing, and it makes sense for him to say, listen, I recognize that it's time for me to walk away soon. I'm tired, I'm old, I want to do other things, and I'm telling you all in advance so that if you want to see me one more time, like, now is your time to plot and plan for the next year. I will be around. I'm a little busy this year, but next year, essentially, he's doing it pretty much with a full time. I think he said he's doing like what, 40 shows? That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean the what the towel in the front of the shirt says was the last time is now, 2025 farewell tour, and on the back of it is a door that says after this you can't see me. And I'll read some of the quotes that and of course we're going to go into this retirement stuff a little bit more in detail after we cover Money in the Bank. But he said during when he was in the ring, he said he was late. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to let you know that I announced my retirement." He said, "The 2025 Royal Rumble will be my last. The 2025 Elimination Chamber will be my last. And I'm here tonight to announce that in Las Vegas, WrestleMania 2025 will be the last I compete in." And of course, there was the thank you, Cena chants. And then he said, "Thank you so much for letting me play in the house that you built for so many years. Thank you so much for always for you know thank you so much always for your voice, because it's really loud, and your honesty, because it's beautifully brutal." And if when I think about Toronto and John Cena, I think about the TLC match he had with Edge at Unforgiven 2006. That was an incredible match. And you know what I mean? And he did the AA on Edge on the on the on those stacked tables. That was crazy. But and we're, like I said, we're gonna get into this in just a second. But I mean, it really took a minute for me to let it sink in and said, this guy's really gonna go. Like he's doing it. So you can get your, red John Cena this the last time is now farewell tour t-shirt over at wrestling.thedloopodcast.com. Yours truly, this podcast is an official WWE Shop brand affiliate with Fanatics. So make sure you get your t-shirts now. They actually it looks like it's gonna be I guess the item will be shipped no later than Friday, August the 9th. So, get those orders in and you'll get your Cena shirt probably after SummerSlam, probably. So that was a nice break from the wrestling aspect of it, you know what I mean? And getting the fans, to kind of forget about the wrestling match that just happened with the Intercontinental Championship to get ready for the next match, which was for the World Heavyweight Championship. Damian Priest defending against Seth freaking Rollins. And of course, the match had the stipulation that if Rollins won, Damian Priest would have to leave the Judgment Day. And if Priest won, Rollins could never challenge for the title again as long as Damian Priest is the champion. I mean, the match went 14 minutes, 40 seconds long. It was a little slow in the beginning. And I mean, again, this is Seth's first match back since WrestleMania. And obviously, he had that procedure on his knee. Clearly, he had the, just trying to just get back in. I'm not saying he's not in ring shape, because I mean, who am I to say a
You
wrestler's
gotta
not in
dust the
ring
cob,
shape?
right? You gotta dust the cobwebs
But
off. You
dust
have
the
to learn to
cobwebs,
trust your
physical,
body
right?
again as well. Like, I'm sure
Absolutely.
it's more mental than physical.
Absolutely. So again, I mean, it was a hard-hitting match. I enjoyed it. There was one communication thing that was going on in the match where Priest was being covered by Seth, and Priest never kicked out, and the referee didn't count three. And of course, the fans, they're gonna, call bullshit or whatever the case may be. Then, of course, you have the Scottish Warrior, Drew McIntyre, coming out to cash in to make it a triple threat match. And I'm just thinking, okay, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? And of course, the referee gets knocked out. Next thing you know, CM Punk comes in to attack Drew McIntyre. And I mean, he is beating him senseless. I think he throws him over by the ring announcer, hitting him multiple chair shots, multiple chair shots. And Punk is now sitting on the announce table. And when he grabs the World Heavyweight Championship belt, and as soon as he gets, as Drew is getting up, Punk lays him out with the title. Then Damian Priest hits him with, I believe he hit him with the choke slam, South of Heaven choke slam, pins him 1-2-3, and still World Heavyweight Champion Damian Priest. Of course, Seth realizes what happened and sees Punk out there, and they have a little verbal exchange from a distance. And of course, Corey Graves is getting up trying to separate the two. I like the dynamic with Punk and Rollins, and we'll talk about Monday Night Raw, in a little while. What was your thoughts on obviously everything that happened in the match? The miscommunication, Punk's involvement, and what happened afterwards.
I think that people have to remember that everyone is human. Mistakes happen. I hate referring to them as botches because I'm sure we see 1,000 botches a match. We just don't know they're botches. But again, I think I want people to remember that these people are human. Cues are missed. I think part of the reason why he didn't kick out is because there was a music issue as well, where I think it should have been Drew's music hit possibly a little bit late. I think there are several factors in these things that people don't realize. So I'm all for giving grace. And again, I predicted that this would happen. I said on my prediction that Punk was going to come in and make sure that Drew did not have a successful cash in. Pat on the back to me. So definitely saw that coming. And overall, it was a great match. And I think there are some layers to it too, because as we know, which we'll talk about soon, Seth and Punk have their own issues. So interviewed with interfered with that as well. I just think that it was great storytelling, and I look forward to seeing what happens next.
Yeah, like I said, I am looking forward to seeing. I mean, hey, listen, August 3rd, can I get here any sooner?
This episode of the DLU podcast is brought to you by Goalie Nutrition. As someone who's used Goalie for quite some time, I can tell you that they're not only very good, but they're very beneficial. My favorite are the Super Green Gummies. The Super Green Gummies are uniquely crafted with a spectrum of essential nutrients such as vitamins A, B12, folic acid, and theamine. It supports a healthy liver function, healthy nervous and immune system, digestive health, a boost to your metabolism, and overall health and well-being. There are no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or colors from artificial sources. They're vegan-friendly, gluten-free, and gelatin-free. All loyal listeners of the DLU podcast get a special 10% discount at checkout. Go to goalie.com, use promo code DLEW. That's goalie.com, use promo code DLEW.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Up next, we have the women's Money in the Bank ladder match, which feature Tiffany Stratton, Chelsea Green, Io Sky, Lyra Valkyria, Naomi, and Zoe Stark. And let me just say this. Oh, God. Chelsea Green, when I think about, and this is just a real sports analogy, when I think about a fine utility player, which means you can utilize that player in any situation, that's Chelsea Green. And I say that with the biggest compliment to her in the world, because her comedic timing is impeccable.
Mm-hmm.
She did the earlier in the preview show, her and Kathy Kelly, they walked the edge of the CN Tower. I've actually been to CN Tower before, ladies and gentlemen. That is about over 1,800 feet from the ground. That's how high CN Tower is. As a matter of fact, the time that I went to CN Tower, I was going to a Yankees Blue Jays game. Sky Dome was actually open. I refused to call it the Rogers Center. Thus why I said, call myself an adopted Canadian. The Yankees had on their gray jerseys and they look like little gray dots. That's how high up over the ground you are. So Kathy Kelly and Chelsea Green, because, you know, Chelsea wanted to get over her fear of heights because she's going to be in this ladder match, which, again, was great storytelling in itself. And she was very confident, you know, going in the match after doing the thing at CN Tower. Now to the match. They get, you know, 16 minutes, 50 seconds. What I loved about this match, and even the men's match too, to a certain extent, is the fact that there was a lot of new names in this. You know what I mean? You know, granted, obviously you had, you know, Naomi, who's been around the block so many times. She's a veteran.
She was a vet of the match. Own, right? Yeah,
absolutely. Then you had last year's winner, Io Sky, in there. But you got Tiffany, you got Chelsea, you got Lyra, and you got Zoe Stark, all brand new. I love the new blood that's being featured now in some of these matches. You know what I mean? It gives it new life. Because when you're seeing the constant same old, same old, same old, it just gets a little tiring after a while. So I'm glad that they were able to showcase some of this younger talent, this newer talent, you know, to definitely get over. the Michinoku driver that Io Sky gave Zoe Stark. I literally jumped out of off the couch. I'm serious. I'm like, oh my God. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I just pray that she's okay. And she, you know, she was, but she sold that thing like $1 million. Your thoughts on the on some of the highlights of the match?
So I think we both agree that Chelsea stole the show by far. Her 100%. Her ladder spot was insane. It was very reminiscent of her TNA ladder spot. I think that I was worried for Zoe's life at one point because she definitely took some hell of a bumps. But I have to give credit to Lyra Valkyrie because she's really shown that she's got it lately. I mean, her Mania match, not her Mania match, her what is the match she just had? I'm drawing a blank. Help me.
What's it, the Queen of the Ring?
Yes, her Queen of the Ring match. Yes. Yes. Was amazing that she showed that she can go out there and do a ladder match. Ladder matches are not easy. No. They're very hard. They're very brutal. She's just really showing that, listen, you give me the chance, I'm going to take it. Right. I'm going to show you what I can do.
She fits. I mean, think about it. She looks like a superstar. She walks like a superstar. She wrestles like a superstar. And that's how you got to do it. You have to act like you've been there before. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like Lyra Valkyrie, like if I was to, you know, start watching wrestling today and I saw Lyra Valkyrie, I would think that she's been wrestling for 5 years, for a long time in WWE mm-hmm. because of just how, and this, I got to say, that this crop of NXT superstars, that's just gone to the main roster recently. Kiana James, Carmelo Hayes, you know what I mean? All of these NXT, just recent, the last couple of years, they're shining. They really mm-hmm. are shining. I think, and again, I'm not, you know, putting Triple H guys versus Shawn Michaels guys, but I just feel as though that with whatever it is that they're doing on there since Sean's gotten there, I mean, it's working because mm-hmm. they are really, really, really doing the thing on the main roster. But I was very shocked because I was under the impression, I thought that, okay, Naomi, I thought she was going to win it and cash in and start maybe a heel run. That was my thought. But no, again, pro wrestling.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't have her winning. I'm not a fan of Tiffany Stratton. She's never really done it for me, so I really never had her winning. But I do think she's going to give Bayley hell, which I said earlier, right? Heels make for good briefcase holders.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. So yes, Tiffy did win the Money in the Bank ladder match, and now she is Tiffy in the Bank, and who knows when she'll cash in. I just think just the backstage vignettes of just her interrupting Bayley doing interviews and reminding her of watch your back, watch your front, watch your side, because I'm coming. And I'm coming to cash in on you when you least expect it. So, and I think, and to your point, you know, it puts champions at edge on, you know, on eggshells. You just never know when they're going to cash in. That's the mm-hmm. beauty of it. You know what I mean? So, like I said, the women, you know, did an outstanding job of, you know, of showing out as they did in this Money in the Bank ladder match. And of course, now we have the main event. You know, it's the Bloodline, which we found out it was going to be Solo, Tama Tonga, and Jacob Fatu mm-hmm. versus Cody, Kevin Owens, and Randy Orton. Now, for those that know, or actually for those that know or don't know, a lot of people weren't sure if Jacob Fatu was even going to be permitted in the country of Canada because. And this is not just Jacob Fatu specific. That's just anybody. If you are convicted of something, you are not allowed in the country. So WWE had to work their magic and get Jacob Fatu permitted into to Canada. So that's
the same thing for the Usos. They have issues as well with moving across countries. So
thus the line from Friday Night SmackDown that Drew McIntyre asked Jey Uso, how did you get over the border? I'm like, mm-hmm. oh man, oh wow, unbelievable. But you know, as any six-man tag match is going to be, it's going to be chaotic, it's going to be just bonkers. And the fact that Jacob, and to me, the star of the match was Jacob Fatu.
Yes.
Just the fact of when he when Randy did the middle of the rope DDT on Jacob, Jacob kind of cleared the cobwebs and got up and was like, oh boy. And Michael Cole was like, Randy, turn around, because they were really putting over on commentary how much of a savage that Jacob Fatu is. And they did bring up on commentary how they had to get clearance for him to be in Canada. Like that was, and they played into that. And I'm sure Jacob Fatu didn't have a problem with that being put over on commentary, because thus that helps the character. You know what I mean? But you know, obviously there was a scary moment in the match where I think that Cody did a dive on Tongaloa, and he his head hit the
Yeah,
announce
that.
table, and I
Oof.
think he might have gotten might not goofy for a little bit.
Nah, I definitely think that the bell got rung.
Yeah, and then of course now you have he did the low blow, you know, when the I believe it was the Kevin Owens, when Kevin was trying to power bomb Tama Tonga, and he was able to get him. And next thing you know, Cody takes that spike and Solo Sikoa pins the WWE champion 1-2-3 to win the six man tag, which I thought was I believe that the Bloodline was going to win the entire time. But I also thought that Cody was going to inadvertently hit Randy Orton, and that was going to start a feud with him and Randy. But I think, again, when the fans are thinking one thing, you know, the company's going to go in another direction. And I think they might have Solo versus Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam. And I think now that Solo got this victory, which was huge, probably the biggest victory of his career so far.
I mean,
Because
he's
his,
only, I think he's like, what, 40-1? Something ridiculous.
I mean, it's wild. And so the fact to get the pin on the champ, because I mean, if he would have got the pin on Orton, if he would have got the pin on KO, okay, okay, we get it. But the fact that he got the pin on the champ, I mean, hey, you know what I mean? So this really raises Solo stock, you know, pretty high. And I think now he has that aura about him, you know, that word aura is used around a lot. But when you see him, now that's his theme song now makes sense when he's walking out with the rest of the Bloodline. Now, I can't wait to see if there's going to be a new wise man, because we didn't have a chance to talk about this. Who do you think? I have an idea of who I want it to be. So I want to see if it matches up with yours. Who do you think is going to be, if there is going to be one, the new wise man for this new Bloodline?
I have no idea. Tell me who you're thinking.
I'm thinking of one Armando Alejandro Estrada. I'm telling you, because think about it. He has ties to the Bloodline, because who was he managing? Umaga. He'd be perfect for it.
I never even thought about it, but you're right.
I was thinking Rikishi, because Rikishi can talk.
Yeah, but I don't
But
see him coming back for it.
right, but I truly believe Armando Estrada would be the perfect wise man, oppose Paul Heyman whenever, you know, Roman and Paul, you know, they eventually come back. You know, and once again, I want to send love to Roman and the rest of the Anoa'i Fatu family and the loss of Sika, and hope they sending them love and light, you know, for their loss. And I mean, the fact that they were able to wrestle that pay-per-view, you know, with Sika on their mind, you know, that says a lot about their love for professional wrestling. But we're gonna move on to Monday Night Raw. There was a couple of them highlights we're gonna talk about, just two highlights, and then we're gonna move on to the John Cena news. Of course, the show opened up with CM Punk. You know, we're talking about what he did. Oh, and by the way, before I move on to Raw, what happened after Money in the Bank with Drew McIntyre coming out to the post show with a Jackie Redmond, Biggie, and Wade Barrett, and Drew McIntyre just comes out there like a madman saying, "I know where your family lives." And of course, he's, you know, he's attacking referees, and of course Adam Pearce tries to grab him, and he elbows Adam Pearce, and they almost got the fisticuffs until Wade Barrett has to say, "Hey, get out of here before you don't have a job anymore," yada yada. Then of course it was announced that Drew McIntyre was indeed suspended. suspended, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But now we move on to Monday Night Raw. Punk comes out and he's, you know, kind of replaying, you know, what happened at Money in the Bank. And then afterwards, you know, of course, what I was speaking of him, you know, Drew attacking referees, attacking, you know, Adam Pearce. And Punk says, you know, because of that, he can't. And of course, because he went on Twitter, he got a double fine. And of course, Punk, I think, said he got fined or whatever it was. And he said that, he meant to do it. And he told him that he was going to be a thorn in his side, so to speak. And he also said there are consequences for your actions. And I told you, I was never, as long as there's air in my lungs, you're never going to be world champion. And of course, who comes out? Seth freaking Rollins comes out. And they're recapping everything that happened. And Seth is like, you know, heck, you know, you just didn't screw Drew McIntyre. You screwed me. Mm-hmm. And they're, I mean, I can tell that there's underlying tension between the two guys, and they're willing to do business. They're willing to do business. And this, the realism makes this feud special.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he called them, I think, and I'm just like paraphrasing, but I think he was called him selfish or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Punk was like, look, my beef wasn't with you. It was with Drew McIntyre. He said, and Seth was like, you can't even say sorry, can you? And Punk said, I apologize. I'm sorry. Turns around and says, well, but because it's you, I'm
really not that sorry, you know?
Oh, man. And they're going back and forth. And then he just basically told Punk, he said, there are consequences for your actions. So there are so many layers now to this view. Talk about it.
I love it. I love that essentially we have like a three-man beef, because I don't think Seth is going to let this like rock. He's not going to let this rock. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to come back. He's going to come back for him. And I don't think Drew's going to let it go. And Punk's not going to let it go. So it gives us time to kind of see where this feud really goes between the three of them, because it's no longer the two of them. Before it was the two of them. Now right. You've screwed over Seth Rollins. So now you've got an additional layer.
Yeah, man, we got a three-way hater of the year match. Why don't I put the player hater of the year on the poll match? You know what I mean? We got to have that. Just tongue in cheek there, but yeah, it's a lot. You know, it's a lot to a lot of layers to this. And I'm happy that Punk is having a good time there now. And he's working and he's putting in the time and the effort to tell this incredible story. Like, think about it. With the exception of the Money in the Bank deal and Drew putting his hands on him in Chicago, they've barely touched.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't even exchanged holds yet.
Mm-hmm.
So the longer this lingers, fans, they're going to be chomping at the bit, but this is going to be incredible stuff. Or as the old owner used to say, this is going to be such good shit. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean. But that was that. But then, of course, Punk is in the back and he's meeting with Adam Pearce, and he told him, hey, you know, you need to go home. You know, he said, you need to go home. And he's like, he's going to try to get Drew McIntyre back. And later on in the show on Raw, they did mention that Drew McIntyre was going to be appearing next week. So that was that opening segment. What was your overall, I mean, just if you could just, you know, we could tie a bow on this segment. What was your overall thoughts on where this goes?
You know what? I don't know where it goes, and I'm okay with that. Talked about it all the time on this show. Like, I'm okay sometimes just sitting in the back seat and just letting it rock. And this is one of the ones where, like, I don't want to overly predict it. I don't want to, you know, say all the things that I think are going to happen or that should happen. This is going to be one of the ones where I'm just going to sit back and let it go.
Yes, indeed. Now, during Raw, there was Damian Priest, you know, talking to the Judgment Day. And, of course, Seth Rollins comes by. And he was telling him, he said, hey, man, you know, you were the man last night, but in order to keep that, you have to be much better. And, you know, Damian Priest said, I appreciate it. He said, hey, by the way, about that gentleman's agreement, I'll drop it. So you see that he's like, when I get done at SummerSlam, you'll basically have the next shot at the world title. So that was a cool gesture by Damian Priest. And of course, the main event last night was a mixed tag match with Rey Mysterio and Zelina Vega facing the Women's World Champion. Oh, God, what do we call her now, man? But Liv Morgan and Dirty Dom Mysterio. Now, the segment, probably the segment of the year, is when she's stretching Dom. Oh, and the Judgment Day walk in on him. That is just something straight out of a movie, out of a comedic movie. Like, think of like American Pie. Think about movies like that have
old
that,
school movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seriously. And Damian Priest said, you know, we know it's not that hard. And Carlito says, well, look at him. It's hard. I'm like, oh my God. It's just like, where are we going, man? But here's the thing. If you have a group of friends, it's that one friend that says stuff like that all the time.
Always, always.
And this is why I like Carlito in the Judgment Day. He really brings the comedic aspect to the Judgment. You know, the Judgment Day is all serious. And you have Damian Priest with that deep voice. And you have Finn Balor and JD McDonald, who's finally earned his stripes. And you got Dirty Dom, who the whole world hates. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They boo that man to the one side of the world to the other. And then you have Carlito, who's just comedic gold. But anyways, there was a couple of times in the match where Don was in some compromising positions where I think Ray had did a tripped him, and then he ended up in Liv's crotch area, and he got out of there pretty quick. But of course, after the match is over, you know, of course, Dom getting his first victory over his dad, Liv grabs Dom and brings him on top of her. And next thing you know, right before they're about to lip lock, here comes Mommy. She is back. Because remember, early in the show, Damian Priest did get a phone call, looked at the phone, answered it, and smiled. So we kind of knew, okay, it looks like Mommy's on her way back. What was your thought on that whole entire segment throughout the night of them leading up to that return?
I think that it's going to be more to come with Liv and Finn Balor.
Really?
Those little gems have been like sprinkled around, where they had a segment where she like put her credit card, her room card on the key, and Finn took it. Mm-hmm. Finn's always in the background doing something. I think it's, she literally said, I'm going to come for everything you love. I don't think it necessarily, she meant that in a sense of, Dom, I just want something to destroy. I want something to play with while you're gone. And I really think it's going to be Finn turning on Judgment Day as well.
Wow.
That's been kind of like sprinkled for a while now. Him always questioning Damian Priest and things like that. I just think it's going to happen.
Yeah. And they even WWE said they're going to put the whole entire Judgment Day storyline on, I believe, YouTube. So they're going from 2022 to now. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, and I hope they show Edge, because he was the proprietor of Judgment Day. They can't not have him in there. And I hope they do. And I mean, granted, in this era now, they do mention other former WWE superstars who are working elsewhere. And it's okay. It's okay to mention that, you know, someone that might be on the competition, but they did earn their stripes in WWE. So, you know, it's almost like, you know, if you're talking NFL, you're talking about somebody needs to pay for the Patriots and that play for the Jets, you know, it doesn't mean that you can't mention them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So right. I think WWE is finally like acquiescing to normalcy of saying we can't, it's okay to mention somebody that's not there anymore, that's working for somebody else. So, hey, there'll always be WWE family. So let's act like it. Well, we've come to this point of the show where we can now talk about John Cena's retirement tour. You know, obviously he said he was going to talk more about the at the press conference, some highlights, you know, regarding that. I got to tell you, this seems, you know, pretty surreal, because, you know, John Cena, I always thought it was going to be one of those guys that was going to be around for a while, but I think that, you know, with all that he has going on with, you know, with movies and all those other things, you know, I think he really wants to put this part of his life to bed in regards to the in-ring stuff. You know, I think because a lot of people thought, and I did too, that WrestleMania was going to be his last match, because when he said this will be the last WrestleMania, I'm like, whoa, is WrestleMania going to be? I said, because if they want to sell out tickets quick, then I mean, those tickets, all 80,000 of those tickets per night are going to sell out
gone
within probably an hour. So, but when he clarified during the press conference that, you know, we're going all the way until December 2025, where this can be, he's going to basically get the Kobe treatment of a farewell tour. Mm-hmm. And let me ask you a question. If you had the pencil, if Paul Levesque says, hey, Gabby, I'm going to give you the pencil on John Cena's farewell run, are you giving him a world title run or not?
If it makes sense, and only if it makes sense. I'm not just going to put the belt on him because he's walking away, kind of like how I did with Sting in AEW. I'm not going to do that. But if it makes sense for the storyline for him to have a championship belt and he uses it to get other people over with, sure. I think then it'll make sense, but I'm not just going to give it to him for shits and giggles.
Yeah, I mean, he was also talking about, you know, like I said, he's going to stick around. WWE and WrestleMania will not be his final match. He's at the farewell tour, will hopefully include dozens of dates between January and December 2025 with his final in-ring match at the end. He also told reporters that he proposed a plan that will keep him around the franchise in different capacities, even though he won't be competing. He said, I've always said to the audience that WWE is my home and I love it. Just because I physically feel I'm at my end doesn't mean I need to distance myself from something that I love. So that's big, you know, on him to, you know, to kind of want to stick around. I think this, and, you know, correct me if you think I'm, you know, I'm going a little overboard. John Cena being a board member of TKO, thoughts?
Why not? Sure. But also, I think with John Cena, if he was truly a board member, he would truly be a board member. He would not try to insert himself into things like other people have done. I think that, again, I think he truly wants to wrap up on his terms. And then he said he's not leaving the WWE family. I mean, he's not going to AEW. Like, I wish people would just stop that. That's never going to happen. Like, no, relax. No. I don't say life for often because you never know, but like, I truly believe that John Cena is pretty much the closest they were going to get to a lifer. Right. But I think that he just wants to quietly close the door. I'm sure he'll still grant wishes. I'm sure he'll still do things, you know, but maybe he just doesn't. Maybe he's okay with being in the background. Some people are not okay with being in the background and have to be like Ric Flair. He will never like not steal the sideline, right? We know that. But then you have people like John Cena, who's like, all right, I did my part. I'm gonna go and maybe pop up at the Performance Center. Maybe I will show up for some big events. Maybe I will host a party, things like that. So I see him truly wrapping it up at the end of next year and then sitting down.
I mean, I look at a lot of different things and people are saying, well, who should his last opponent be? There's so many you can think of. I mean, there's Randy Orton that's sitting there. I mean,
with him is that I see him not doing that. I see him truly making his last match, like, no shade, somebody in like NXT, somebody who's like up and coming. I think we're going to get, like, you might get those, I hate to say dream matches, as Tony Khan ruined those for me, but I think you might get some dream matches. But I truly think that he's going to be the one who's got a match with Carmelo. He's going to be the one to have a match with Trick Williams. He's going to be the one to go over with Bron Breakker. You know what I mean? I don't think he's going to just go for like AJ Styles and go for like the classic people. I think he's going to be like, listen, throw me somebody on NXT who hasn't been on TV in a while. That's who I want.
I do want to see Cody versus John Cena.
I'm sure we'll get it.
Because
I don't think it'll be a big picture match. I don't think it'll be a PLE match. I think it'll be a random
think about where Cody was when Cena was in his prime. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And look at Cody now, a grown man. Like, it's like, it's crazy. It's like Cody prior to leaving WWE was just another person. Like, these are two different people. You know what I mean? When you look at the two, as far as the dynamic, as far as how Cody built himself up to be this top level, top tier superstar that he is now. And he's on that Cena level. I mean, if you look at the numbers in regards to his merchandise, because he was talking about this on an interview recently, and I believe it was on The Pivot. Shout out to Ryan Clark and Fred Taylor, you know, for I love that podcast. Just huge kudos to them and having Cody on there, because they were at SmackDown that me and my stepdaughter were at last week at Madison Square Garden, and they interviewed Cody. And you know, as far as Cody's, you know, his all the things that he was doing before, you know, he left, and like where he is today, you know what I mean? It's a lot of what he was able to do and build his name outside of the company and come back.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to see that match with him and Cena. Any other dream matches you would want have John Cena to have? I'm talking about from the past.
No, I really want to see Cena focus his run on doing what Chris Jericho thinks he's doing.
Oh my God. Come on, we gotta love the learning tree, right?
Anyway, we're not here for that. But again, I would love to see him do what Chris Jericho thinks he's doing. And truly, I mean, again, I think he'll have his big name matches for sure. Like, we might see him and AJ Styles go back at it. I'm sure we'll see things like that. But I truly want to see him pop up on NXT and go up against some random. I want to see him with Trick Williams. I want to see him with Carmelo. I want to see him with, I don't know, Truth. I want to see him with Truth. You know what I mean? Like, give me something fun.
Yeah.
Mix it up a little bit.
It's tons of possibilities, you know, with matches and everything. But I think this is going to be big. And I'll be honest with you. If somebody deserves their last match to be in a non-pay-per-view setting in a stadium, it's John Cena.
Agreed.
If they're going to do this, this is just me, because you know the last week of December is when they do the holiday tour. I know Madison Square Garden is one of them. Baltimore, Boston, Detroit, that's usually one of those cities. Yeah. And I mean, I'm trying to think of stadiums where they can have this last match. If they were to try to do it in Skydome at Toronto or something like that, because he was talking about Canadians and how much he loved Canadians and he loved their passion. You mean to tell me we can't sell out Skydome?
I'm sure.
For Cena's last match, I go to that. I totally go to that. That's me. I would love to be in attendance for his last match. And people could say what they want about Cena and things that's been out there on the internet, holding guys back allegedly and, you know, all this other stuff. But when you talk about a guy that literally held down a company during some trying years, even though they were making money, when you look at WWE's programming, you know, in the mid 2000s, the mid, I guess the late 2000s and the to 2010s, it was hard to watch sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
And it had nothing to do with John. But he was the flag bearer of the company. And at the end of the day, you know, when you talk about, you know, the Mount Rushmore of WWE, you know, obviously we got John Cena on that list. John Cena's on that piece. You know, I don't think no one's going to ever knock him down because of just all of the groundwork that, you know, he's put in. And I'll go on a limb and say this. I will knock off a certain guy off that Mount Rushmore today. And you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
I will take red and yellow off the WWE Mount Rushmore. I do it because, you know, just some recent thing that's come out about the guy again. Yeah, I would totally put John Cena. If I had a choice, I would put John Cena. Your last thoughts on John and his legacy and what it means to you as a wrestling fan?
I cannot wait to see it. I truly think that whenever John Cena dedicates his time and energy into wrestling, he truly dedicates his time and energy into wrestling, which is why I think it's postponed a little bit as well, because he's got some things he's got to do this year. He's busy, and he truly, when he comes back, he wants to essentially be full time. So he wants to work whatever show he's probably both shows, honestly, it's John Cena. They're not going to just pick him exclusively on a brand. I'm sure he'll work all of the shows, NXT included. I'm sure he might even pop up at a few house shows, you know? I look forward to his victory lap.
And another thing to consider, you know, now that we got this Raw moving to Netflix in 2025, mm-hmm. I would not be shocked if they're touting John Cena's first appearance in 2025 to be on the first ever episode of Monday Night Raw on Netflix. You think you that won't get people to subscribe?
Absolutely.
That's how you do it. And I mean, think about it. NXT's moving to CW this fall, and SmackDown is coming back to USA this fall. So there's a lot of possibilities in regards to, you know, these relationships that WWE is building with a lot of these other different media outlets and networks. You know, having John Cena as someone that's been around. I mean, obviously, you know, you got Cody, you got Seth, and you got all these other guys. But at the end of the day, you know, John Cena is a household name. John Cena is a brand in itself. Mm-hmm. So, in my opinion, you know, that first episode of Raw on Netflix has to be huge, huge. And it and obviously, you're going to be in Royal Rumble season two. Oh, yeah. So that's going to be an incredible kickoff to 2025, the relationship with Netflix, and of course, the kickoff of the John Cena retirement farewell tour. But we had a lot. We talked a bit today, you know, about a lot of the goings on with WWE and John Cena, and we sprinkled a little of Chris Jericho dust in there. I literally was not expecting that. That was pretty funny. I gotta admit that.
You're welcome. Yeah, I'm here for.
You're welcome. Well, as always, give the people where they can. Oh, by the way, please, please, please plug your new podcast and ventures you have going on right now.
Absolutely. So you guys can follow me on all social media at Charm City Gabby with two I's. And you all can tune into the new podcast that me and my ladies have come up with. It's called Lip Gloss and Ladders. We plan on dropping our next, our first episode in the next week or so. You guys will catch me over there. And of course, it does not mean that I'm leaving my good friend D-Lou. I will still be here. You can still catch me here as well. I'll be pulling double duty because I love wrestling that much.
And you already know that I will pull up when you want me.
Absolutely. We'll chat about that.
We'll have some lipstick and ladders. I'm not wearing lipstick, pause, but
you can pick up a ladder though. It's fine.
I'll pick up a ladder. Absolutely. And pick up a ladder to change a light bulb or something, but we'll figure it out. But yeah, you know, once again, thank you for your contributions to the show. And again, it's only going to get bigger and bigger. And as opportunities come, like I said, you're already on board, and we're definitely going to be moving mountains for sure.
Thank you for having me.
You got it. Well, that does it for this week's edition of the D-Lou podcast. You know, again, thank you, Gabby, as always, you know, for what you continue to do with all of your contributions to the D-Lou podcast. So again, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, for those that are not in the know, you know, I am in the running for America's Next Top Hitmaker. And guess what? I am in first place so far in my group. I can't believe it. Thank you all for your votes. Everybody, literally, there are people that I didn't even know that they knew that I was in it, and they were voting. They've been submitting their votes every single day. You can continue to vote. If you go to my bio, the link in my bio, you'll see the nexthitmaker.org link, and you'll be able to vote for free once a day. And the final first round ends on July 11th. Actually, as you're listening to this podcast today, this episode, it actually ends tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern time, I believe. That's when it ends as far as the first round is concerned. So make sure you get those votes in. Definitely appreciate that. In addition to, please, if you haven't done so already, you can subscribe to the D-Lou podcast on several platforms, and the platforms, obviously, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, as well as Apple Podcasts. And if you haven't done so also, if you've subscribed to Apple Podcasts, leave a comment, leave that 5-star review. Social media, again, you can follow on X, on Instagram, as well as Facebook. If you can just look up the D-Lou podcast, hit like, hit follow, or you can get all of the updates of the show and what's going on, recaps and things of that nature. Of course, my social media itself is at The Real DT Lou, with the exception of Facebook, which is Derek T. Lewis official page. Stream our music on all platforms. And of course, my stores, Pro Wrestling Tees is pwt.derektlewis.com. And, of course, there's my actual store itself is shop.derektlewis.com. Well, I'm going to get out of here. And as I always say, no matter what it is you do in life, always remember to make it count. See you next time.